three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording Tuesday, 12th of April at about 10:30 on the East Coast. My name is Joseph Court. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon. Andrew, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I'm in close contact COVID isolation now, so in the bunker. Kid's gone down with it. So, and I swear I'm just minutes away from that positive RAT test.
Yeah. I've had ones where I get a negative and then I will, or not me, but people I know, turn a negative, get a positive. But more importantly, NBL Pocket Podcast, we're talking NBL basketball. It was a bit of a dud round, so we're kind of looking outward and toward the horizon. We're going to be talking about Matisse Thybulle, bit of Boomers action, bit of NBA, but you know, I think it's related. We're talking about Boomers way too soon, their lineups in June, July. We're talking about this latest article in The Australian regarding Larry Kesselman and NBL profits. And then we're going to do a fraction of a round review. There just wasn't enough games to hold a lot of interest. And then, more importantly, and this is something that Andrew Canyon brought up, we're going to look at the what is now six bottom teams, the non-final teams, most likely, and what changes they need to make, perhaps on court, perhaps off court, and we're going to go from there. So that's what we're going to do.
And we got some questions from listeners as well that we'll run through as well.
We have a Discord, people, so download the app and look for us, NBL Pocket Podcast. And last night it was going crazy. People were talking about all kinds of stuff. So join the conversation there.
Yeah, you can get to it if you are wondering exactly how to get into it, because you can download Discord and then you're like, what the heck do I do from here? If you go to our website, nblpocketpodcast.com, there is a link to the direct to the Discord from there. Scroll right to the bottom, there's a little blue basketball icon. That's all you need to do. Click that and Discord should take care of the rest.
Beautiful work, Andrew. And listen, if you really like the podcast or the Discord, think about becoming a patron. We'd appreciate that. The link will be in the description. And other than that, I think we've covered everything. I just want to say we did a Spotify Green Room episode last time. I thought it went swimmingly. Audio was a bit patchy in parts, but that was our first trial of it. The potential of that app is fantastic, and I implore the NBL to use it. We're going to use it, hopefully, at the end of each finals games or the big matchups. Come on to Spotify, you know, half an hour after the game's ended, and people can come in and get it while it's raw. That was a bad call. This was good. That was bad. And get up really short or shortish episodes right after the final whistle. I think people might enjoy that. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, it's like a modern take of talkback radio, isn't it? Really, you can host a show and then you can bring people in. You can boot them if they act like a
that's right,
a twerp. Get rid of them if you need to. We didn't have to. We all had nice people joining our room. But yeah, you can turn them on and off. So it can be moderated. It's really good though. It's really fun and good way. I reckon if the NBL did that, it'd be fantastic.
It'd be amazing. Can you imagine? And I want the NBL to do this. Liam Santamaria starts a room. Punters can come in. Fans can come in. And then, but also Derek Rucker. Hey, Liam, how you doing? Up here in Brisbane, not that they're a finals team, but, you know, or someone in Sydney and, you know, someone in Pete Hall is in Melbourne, he does it. And, you know, whoever else. Be fantastic.
Look, we're just the ideas guys, right?
Yeah. That's all we do. I hope they're listening and I really, really hope they do it. Anyway, let's focus on this show.
Yep.
What do you want to start? Do you want to talk about Larry Kesselman in The Australian first? Or do you want to go to Matisse Thybulle?
Oh, look, they're the two big news articles. Let's start with Larry Kesselman's article, seeing as it's NBL related.
To sort of paraphrase and simplify it for people, it's in The Australian. I encourage you to go and pay for the article, or paper or online. I don't know who wrote it. I'm so embarrassed to say I forgot the name of the writer, but appreciate their time in doing it. Essentially, it was about the NBL turning a profit for the first time in the Kesselman administration. When you read it, Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, no, just incidentally, if you want to read it in The Australian, if you don't have an Australian subscription, which I do not, but I do have an Apple One Premium, whatever the one is where I give Apple the most money every month, that comes with a news subscription, and The Australian is bundled in with that. So you can find it through the Apple News app, another way to get to it. When I read the article, I thought, well, it's another good promo piece on the NBL. It struck me as Larry trying to build some value in his investment, you know. So you say the good word about how wonderful the NBL is and how much it has in value. He sort of pumped it up ahead of A-League soccer.
Or on level terms with.
Yeah, yeah. And he thinks that, he obviously says that the NBL is better. And then you've got the thing about, yeah, making money, although it was sort of pointed out in the article that the club still make losses, but the NBL, the entity of the NBL is making money. So, or
this season has made a profit.
Yeah, yeah.
To which margin was not put forth. But I took notes on this thing. This is the first one I got it. Yeah. Larry Kesselman reveals the league, quote unquote, as a central governing body, is profitable for the first time under his ownership. So what that term means and how far it stretches is what's interesting here. Also, very eager on a new team in Canberra. Mm-hmm. I read that to mean that Tasmania's been a success,
yep,
seemingly both on court and off court, especially for him. He's built that lovely new stadium. You know, that's his money building it, his profit building it. He wants to do that, plant it in Canberra.
Yep.
And that model looks though it works really well. That team has done well on court, which helps. But I think even if they've done poorly, Tasmanians were going to pack it out.
Yep.
Canberra, you would think it would work in the same vein in Canberra? Similar size, don't you think?
I think so. And I think, you know, Larry Kesselman, savvy businessman, there's always angles. You know, you never just go into a deal. He's not just saying Canberra because he wants a team in Canberra. He wants the same deal with the venue. Redevelop it. You get the government to pitch in and pay for most of the redevelopment, and then we take the management revenue. So
do you think
you got it? Yeah, there's multiple pans on the fire, so to speak, with this one.
Do you think, would people read it as cynical and think, oh, Larry Kesselman's using the league for his own business development needs? I didn't read it like that. I thought, oh, good. Someone is getting value out of Australian basketball where there was none 10, 20 years ago. Now, at least someone is using it as an agent for building stadiums and the league. Now, whether it teams and the actual sport itself is what's driving that profit, that was one thing. And I thought, is money being dispersed? Is the game actually generating money for the players and the support staff, or is it all just going to Larry? Do you think people would read this article cynically like that, or what do you think?
I don't think they'd see it cynically. I think they'd see it, and this is the Australian as well, right? So, you know, it's a right-wing sort of pro-business readership as well. You know, it's about making money, right? And the thing I like, maybe this is the formula for Australian basketball to make money. Maybe he's unlocked it. You know, they tried to do it in Adelaide years ago when they built the old powerhouse, right? Mm. And the idea was, we'll build a purpose-built venue, but then we'll have other things. You know, we use it for all the basketball activities and what have you. And it kind of worked, and then it faded over time and bombed out. So maybe that's not the model, but perhaps entertainment center,
right,
own that revenue, run basketball plus other entertainment events. That seems to be the model of the moment, and look, it seems to be working.
In Tasmania, really. What I will say is there an element of pump and dump with this, where Larry goes into Canberra, builds a stadium, he gets some money from that, build a team, great, sells off the club, yeah, good luck, and then the clubs perish? Because only in the next line it says, but the clubs still lose millions of dollars collectively each year and are likely to push for more control of the league. So maybe would the clubs look at this article and get pissed off at the financial model that's kind of being displayed before them?
That's a good question, isn't it? I don't think so. I think you need a well-functioning, profitable central authority. But yeah, the other shoe to drop is clubs making money. And yeah, I don't think that formula has been completely unlocked as of yet.
No. In the other court, furthermore, Kesselman goes on to say that club values are going through the roof, and which he says $35 million is normal now. We just saw the Wildcats, the most profitable team, you would think, sold for what, 10? 8,
yep.
9, 10, yep. Something like that. That's a third of this figure quoted.
Then we had that Sydney deal. The Sydney deal inflated that. Yep. You know, that's where that $35 million came from. Where the lady bought
Tesla
percentage. Yeah,
I see.
So suddenly that becomes the baseline. Yeah. You know,
and here's the thing with an evaluation, right? I could put a piece of toast down in my toaster and comes up and it's got Mary Magdalene's face burnt into it. And I could say, holy moly, this has got a value of $1 million. Uh-huh. Just because I value it at that or just because I've got someone who says, oh, I'll pay you $1 million for it, doesn't mean I can then shop it off to someone else and say, oh, it's worth $1 million, give me 1.5. You know, anyone can place an evaluation on these things, but
yeah,
you know, people know business enough. The other thing I thought, people reading this, team in Canberra, Canberrians get excited. But when it goes on to mention a second team in Sydney and a third in Melbourne, that's when I went, whoa, Larry, hold on now. Obviously, Melbourne, you control that town. But saying, oh, we want to build a second team in Sydney, I thought that was a bit of a, hey, Paul Smith, hey, Sydney Kings, guess what we're thinking about doing? If they'd spit their tea if they read that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. I still think Sydney should have two teams.
I concur.
I know there's a problem with venues and location. What Sydney actually needs is a decent city-based venue.
Bingo. I'm new to Sydney, been here 4 or 5 years. It used to have one in Darling Harbour, the entertainment centre. It does not have a decent indoor venue for that, you know, off town hall, off central area where you can get at. People just north of the bridge can come over, and your posh eastern suburbs and your inner west can kind of go to. Right now, the stadium is in West Sydney. They're not the Sydney Kings. They should really rebrand West Sydney Kings, totally own it. So maybe Larry's looking like, hey, they need an indoor venue in the center of town. I can build it.
Yep.
To me, it speaks to the value of the Hawks. I mean, they wanted to rename that team the Hawks, take out the Illawarra, and slowly, I think, march it north towards the city. When I read this as, oh, second team in Sydney, I thought that could be a likely maneuver. Yep. Yep. Yeah. All in all, interesting article, and I encourage people to go out, get a copy, and read it. Let's move on. Let's talk about Matisse Thybulle.
Matisse.
Boomer. Bronze medal boomer. So
beloved boomer as well. People couldn't get enough of Matisse Thybulle.
Before I explain what's happened, or even Andrew, if you want to, I will say this. No, actually I won't. What's happened is Matisse Thybulle has only in the past or recently received one dose of the COVID vaccine, which is now, very surprisingly to people that cover the sport, is ruling him ineligible of going and playing in Canada, where the Philadelphia 76ers are playing the Toronto Raptors in games 3 and 4 of the playoffs. This kind of came as a late surprise because obviously he went to the Olympics. Everyone thought he was double dosed or, you know, didn't have symptoms of being, I suppose, anti-vax or just not pro-vax. What was your reaction when you saw it, Andrew Gannon?
I was surprised because I assumed that he must have had his double vax for the Olympics. So the whole thing was sort of blew me away. I was surprised, didn't understand it. And then I had some vague memory of hearing or reading something about his mother being in like the medical industry. I've been corrected on that.
Okay, you do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently she was a naturopath. A naturopath? I think that's what it was.
Naturopath, a homeopath, one of
homeopath,
the two.
Yeah, basically a pretend doctor.
Careful now.
Well,
careful.
My chakras and burn my oils, and you know. But no, it's.
This is true, naturopath. So, for people that perhaps don't know, that's alternative medicine.
I'm doing the finger quotes. Alternative, okay. I can humor some people, but this is like seriously.
Yeah, it's pretty out there stuff. So. But this has got just so many layers to it. This is such a rich story. First of all, as you said, the Olympics. I thought you had to be double vaxxed with Pfizer, no less.
Yeah.
And how do you get, like, people in Australia were waiting around for two doses to go and get a cup of coffee. This guy's going to play in Tokyo with thousands of athletes from all over the world with one dose.
What?
I didn't think that was the deal. So that's where it gets a bit dodgy. So that's part of the article you could write, which is great. Then also, I love this idea, and I wrote this. The baby-faced, toothache-inducing Australian sweetheart, Matisse Thybulle, turns out to be sucking the teat of hypocrisy and preferential treatment this whole time. This whole time he had his shoes off and, oh, I'm so hip and cool.
Yep.
And who knew that he was an arsehole? There it is. I said it. Oh, my God. And then the other part of this story is it's such an interesting thing of personal responsibility in a team sport.
Yeah.
Their team has lost the season series to the Raptors 1-3. They've only won the one game, lost 3.
Yep.
He's a vital. He's a starter, and he's going to miss 2 games of what's going to be a pretty hotly contested series.
Yep.
And he's there like, oh, I got to do what's best for me. I'm like, yeah, but you get paid to play a team sport. People are relying on you to get further in the playoffs. They get a playoff bonus if you go further, dot, dot, dot. Like, I just had this conflict of personal interest and your employer and team interest. Amazing. What do you think of it on that grounds of something a bit more?
Yeah, it seems the thing that surprises me so far, and maybe it's too early. I think people have been distracted by elections or something like that, but it doesn't seem to be a lot of buzz around this news. I mean, no. I feel like I heard a lot about Kyrie. And,
oh my God.
And Kyrie has less of a connection to Australia other than, you know, born in Melbourne or what have you, but not really.
Played under 12s, under 14s for Australia, and then played in the US games at under 16s or something. Could be wrong on that, but yeah, barely.
People
played.
Still kind of sort of say, you know, Aussie Kyrie, right? And he got ribbed badly for his stance on vaccination. I haven't heard much in the way of Matisse getting hammered to the same extent.
This is what I say. Australian, so sweet, he gives you a toothache, and he's there, and he's got great skin, handsome lad. Oh, you know, I just do feel like this. And who knew the whole time? Masquerading as a cheat and a phony.
There's one answer to this, right? Okay, so we need to get that Bryce Cotton citizenship sorted out pronto.
Well, you said it. Yeah, that definitely nails it. I actually thought there was also when his mother's actually sadly passed. I'm sorry to hear that, but there's also a cynical commercial element to this. I bet if he doesn't come out with a line of dream catchers and sandalwood candles and things. I'm sorry to make fun of this, but prove me wrong. If it doesn't come out, I'll eat my words. But if it does, I mean, come on. I can see this. I can see, I'm not kidding, this will be branded. The Matisse Thybulle shoe, that's actually not a shoe. You just get an empty shoe box and a quarter of the profits of the $80 shoe that's not a shoe goes to like putting shoes on kids in the third world. I can see it already. I can see it. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. But then also you say Irving as well. Simmons got hammered for his sort of unteamly nature, playing at the Olympics, sitting out games. So hammered by the Americans and Australians. Hammered. He's no Australian. We hate him. Hammered. Yep. What's that? Matisse Thybulle? Anti-vax? Nah. Get out of here. It's all right. Anyway, I hate that sort of
very. I just think the whole thing's disappointing. I'm like, God, he seems like an intelligent guy. You know, it goes to show looks can be deceiving, right?
He to me is Varsity Blues. You know the character in Varsity Blues, Sunshine. I think his name was the backup quarterback. Was like the hippie one. I think it's Varsity Blues, or maybe it's Remember the Titans. One of the two people out there. You're smart. You know what I'm talking about.
So I'm. We're talking COVID. My son currently has COVID. He's 10 years old. And I look at it and go, thank God he had double vax before he got this. Because you look down the barrel. You're looking down the barrel of a gun. And like, Mike could have been really sick and could be a fatal illness. Yep. But he's had two vaxes. And, you know, so that will help him get through it. How the hell anybody cannot just look at that and think that's the sensible, smart thing to do? It blows my mind.
It's a question for Matisse Thybulle. If I get the chance, I'll ask him. I've heard he's started taking beechwood extract. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do it. Let's have a quick look at the round that was. We agree we weren't really going to do it. I've just got a few thoughts on that one game that was quite important. Southeast Melbourne. Melbourne United putting the nails in the South Melbourne.
Throwdown.
The throwdown. The laydown. Deary me. I just want to say the turnover from Munford that White picked off and dunked at the start of the fourth. I think Melbourne scored four or five times unanswered. I knew it was going to happen before the start of the fourth. I said, I can't remember what I tweeted, but it was something obnoxious. It was like, you can't spell collapse without SEM. No, collapse? No, it can't be collapse. You can't spell a word that has S-E-N-M in it that's a synonym of collapse without SEM. Joe Chi.
Yep.
Had perhaps the most matadorish defense I've ever seen in my life. JLA just drove on the one hand, I think left hand, and just dunked it. I was like, oh, it was so embarrassing. And 2 minutes left, maybe less. I don't know what he was doing on the court. And then you tell the people, tell the good people what happened at the end.
Well, let me set the scene a little bit here, because whenever I see Matt Hodgson play now, right, and he does a boneheaded foul. It's a trigger warning now. I have that Bad Habits song from the Bread and Body podcast plays in my own head when
Bad Habits.
Yeah, when Hodgson gets a foul, and it's just there you go. We need a similar song for Kyle Adnam. So whenever Kyle Adam does something dumb towards the end of a game, we need some sort of musical sting.
I'm going to fight you on that one. I'm going to say dumb is the wrong word when he does something, when he overextends himself in the last type point in the game. But I agree with you.
Okay, yeah, yeah. It goes beyond his capabilities, perhaps. And he did it again, again. In this, so this would be like the third game in a row, I think, if I'm counting correctly. He went in a few seconds left in the game, and he decided, smallest man on the court potentially, decided to go inside the key and try and lob up a floater.
Over JLA. The big noodle, like he's just so long.
I know, you just don't do that. And you know why? Another reason you don't do it, not only the fact you're giving away 2 feet of height, is you've got Mitch Creek. Fringe boomer sitting there.
Who gets to the foul line at any time. He's so big and strong.
And is the guy. He's the guy, right? They built this team around him. Give him the ball.
Yep. We didn't want to talk about this round, and we wanted to talk about instead what the six teams that are out of the finals are going to do. Well, we'll kind of launch into Southeast Melbourne first, if you'd like to, and it comes off from this game. And the funny thing is, there's talk about Simon Mitchell re-signing and that it's likely for multi-years, which on the Spotify Green Room with Woody and a whole bunch of others, pardon me, not by name, but a whole bunch of others, we were like, oh, Mitchell's got to take some for this season. But now I'm actually starting to think something differently. And this is to parrot and paraphrase Brad and Body podcast. So subscribe to that one, the Brad and Body podcast with Brad Rosen, Body Nodge. And it was their thought that the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix wouldn't re-sign Mitchell if they thought this was his fault. So when they saw that, they thought, oh, then the management is thinking it's the players. Because right. The coach, no, it's not his problem. They're going to the players. Do you agree with that assessment? I know we spoke about it in the green room, but do you agree that with seemingly the brass of the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix that Mitchell's good, we're going to make it to play a change?
Oh, yes, to an extent. But then they went and re-signed Ruben Tarangi, who I would think has been one of the major failures of the year. So I don't quite get it. I agree with the theory and the construction of the argument, but it just doesn't seem to hold water when you look at what they're doing. Like last year, they re-signed both Adnam and Liafa. Like those guys... You just can't have both of them, but they went with it. Now they've resigned Tarangi. I don't see where the changes are going to come from.
Can I tell you who they've got on the books? Here's their team for next season. On the cards, they have Adnam on the books, pardon me. Adnam, Tarangi, Dane Pinot, Brokoff, and Liafa. All the guys we don't like. And Toey Smith-Milner on a team option. So whether they pick that up.
It's kind of inconsequential, really.
Actually, I think that some of them have player options, but you would have thought they opt into those. Who knows?
Yeah.
To me, the big thing is ending quarters. And they got blown away again in the fourth, 28-19 by Melbourne. Just destroyed. Just suddenly brushed aside. And here's the thing. When they went to finals, they had Kiefer Sykes. NBA fringe. Well, he's in the NBA now. But NBA fringe quality point guard.
Yep.
Can get to the rack, very small player, but can get to the rack, fine guys, get in the paint, you know. And as a result, shooting percentages went up because he just made it easy. They didn't have that this year and it cost them big time. Munford wasn't quite that guy, which is unfortunate.
Streaky.
What change does this team need to make? It was the question you posed to me. I want to pose it to you.
Yes. So my self-imposed rules were we can only apply one change, right? So you can't change everything. So my change is going to be we need to restructure their offense. Okay, because...
In what way?
So the way I'm saying is their whole offense has been structured around having these multiple wing players who, you know, you get the ball, it gets kicked around for leading to an open shot, ideally for three, but, you know, an open shot for those guys to benefit from. But the wings, they're just not good enough. So this whole structure has been built around a team where on paper you think they're good enough. You know, you had Brokoff, you had Glidden, you had Tarangi. None of those guys actually hit any of their shots this year.
Can I give you their percentages? So to piggyback off your point, they're third last in three-point field goal percentage, 31%, and dead last in assists per game. They just don't have any drive and kick and shoot and score. Toey Smith-Milner, 22% from the outside. Didn't play a heck of a lot, so putting him on side. Brokoff, 26% from three, seemingly on the season because he's done. 26.
They would have been expecting 40 from him.
Of course, we were. And then Tarangi, 27 as well. And here's the thing with those two especially. They soak up 50 minutes of court time combined.
Yeah.
50 minutes of court time. There's only five positions playing 40 minutes. You do the math. There's 200 minutes and a quarter of it is taken up by these two guys shooting a quarter of a percent of 100 from the outside.
Yeah.
Killer. It's what killed them all year. So I think I agree with you. Bring in a shooter who can shoot and actually make shots.
Yep. They need somebody who can shake it. You know, I mean, this is moving on. I've just said restructure the offense now, extending beyond my own self-imposed rule. If they could get a player that could create off the bounce, but also had a bit of the ability to pull up and hit a three off the dribble. A lot of their guys are spot up shooters, and it just seems to get too bogged down. It doesn't create freedom. They need a circuit breaker in their offense.
Also, Joe Chi, I mean, I know we said one change, but I just want to make this point. Joe Chi, I just don't get it. I don't know if they've got games left and I can say I haven't got it past tense, like this year's over for them. But Joe Chi, Simon Mitchell doesn't play drop stuff. He was out on these defensive schemes. He's just got no hope out there. He's just got no hope. And he had a couple of good games, but late in games, he's unplayable. And against Melbourne, when I saw Brandon Ashley sub out at the 2 minute, 35 second mark, I was like, game over. Yep. I didn't even watch anymore. I was like, knew it. And then that's when those jokes we were saying before happened. So, but going back to what you're saying, but they also, they play bad D. I think I have it written down here somewhere. They are, I haven't got it, but defensive rating. I know they're low. So they don't play good D and they don't hit shots. So they're in this weird spot where Brokoff was handy for them. They probably could have pushed for the finals with him, but without him, they looked really poor. So as much as we've ragged on Brokoff, he still impacted winning in a strange way. He was a really good defensive player and he rebounded well. And if the shot can come along, they become good. But then the problem comes with the change. We've spoken about, they've got these guys on the books who I just don't understand Tarangi. They're one of the worst defensive teams. And I was like, oh, he plays great D. Well, does he? Why are you better at defense then? So, and then the question might become Tommy Greer. Is this guy too nice? And this is what
he's
got.
He's very nice. Here.
Is he? He's a very nice guy. But this is a bit of a put the kids to bed moment. Mufflers on. There might be some cussing here. But do you remember in Team America World Police, that movie, Trey Parker, Matt Stone,
wow.
South Park?
Yeah, it's going back a bit.
When there's a bar, the guy in the bar. Actually, I'm not going to, I'll find the soundbite and I will play it now. I can't put this in.
Oh, my goodness. No, you can't.
Yeah, no, you can't. I'll cut this. I've made a note of the time, 27. But essentially, Tommy Greer, too nice. You need to be a little bit more assertive. And I think those signings of Adnam and Tarangi were done from the heart rather than the head.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
You need a bit of mongrel.
I think I'm going to cut that. And I'm not going to put in the quote either. It's too much. No. But rent the film, people. Rent the film. Let's jump onto some other teams that didn't make it.
Yes. Who you want to do this? Let's go Brisbane.
Let's do it.
Okay, perfect. So what's the single structural change they need?
On the court?
It can be any. It's on court, off court. It could be a new popcorn brand being sold in the stands. I don't care what it is, but you can only have one.
Okay. On court, they have to play defense. They don't play D. And then I think the way you do it is, unfortunately, I just don't think Lamar Patterson has a place there. He just doesn't defend his position. Against Perth a couple of weeks ago, they were like, Patterson, get him in a switch. You could see it. They were head high. He just doesn't move laterally well, doesn't get off the ground. They've struggled inside all year where teams were beating up on the younger Franks, who was a competent player, but a bit more of an outside player. And then Harrison got hurt, so they were done. So that's what I'd say, defense. I'll go into it some more, but what do you think?
No, you don't. I mean, you don't have to go into it more because you're only allowed one comment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being tough. We got 16 to get through here. Brisbane, my change is they need an import point guard. The Sobey experiment is done, finito, complete.
But I thought they were good with him. They were kind of winning games early in the year. They lost him and they totally fell.
I still don't see him as a point guard. I still don't think he's a point guard. I think he can do just as much damage at the one, or the two, sorry, excuse me. And then you get an import point guard, which if you look, the lessons from the league is you need an import point guard generally to do really well.
Mm.
So there you go. Keep him, but move him to the two.
Fair enough. I just want to say on Patterson, so I can go through some stats.
You got to do it.
Because I did all the work. I did the work. I'm going to do it.
Hard time. You can do your Patterson piece.
Patterson, NBL 20, so three seasons ago with Brisbane, 19.6 PER, 52% effective field goal. Guess what he's at this year?
I reckon he's about the same. I reckon he's maybe like 21 points. Price is 21. He's leading the league, so maybe he's less. 18?
I'll rephrase the question a different way. Do you think he's closer to that tally from 3 years ago or last year, the deplorable year that was half New Zealand?
Really good. I think he's really good. I think he's been really good.
Well, his PER is 13.9 and 47 effective field goals. So he's much closer to the year he had last year.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Now, obviously, he's playing without Sobey. It puts a lot of pressure on him, but that's what an import of his caliber is. That's what it is. That's the job. So, and I've often thought about this, like, what is he getting money-wise? And this is the other thought I had with Brisbane. Brisbane just looked so sad and sorry up there in some of their games. They were never in it. And the stadium looked small and pokey. And I was like, where is this team's future? And I'm sorry to give two answers to the question, but I was like, what is happening? Everything just seems to be done on such a shoestring. I mean, their bench was just the worst in the NBL. And sorry to those guys, but no one came off that bench with any pop. You know, Southeast Melbourne had an Ashley coming off the bench. And Perth's got a few players. And even Adelaide had Hannah's coming off its bench. Guys are at least like, okay, there's something. Off the Brisbane bench, there wasn't a single shred of much there. So it just seems to me the whole bench was minimum guys. And then they're sort of scraping with Patterson, where he's not an import of great mystique, you know, like Cotton or Law, where you just have to have him.
Yeah.
He was sort of a spare parts type thing. So that's, I don't know where they go in Brisbane. I don't know where basketball at the NBL level goes in Brisbane. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm surprised by Patterson because watching him, I thought that he's actually had a pretty good season, but it's been a non-impactful good season. Like he's got his numbers, but hasn't really contributed to wins. That's why I was a bit surprised. You know, I thought maybe he had done a little bit more than what those numbers suggest, but hadn't delivered W's.
And they're just,
more generally, yeah, I agree. They seem like kind of a no-identity team once again. Just kind of like meh. Doesn't seem like they seem to fill that stadium pretty well, but it doesn't. It looks like they're playing out of the local rec centre. You know, it just doesn't look like an NBL venue. Kind of seems like it reminds me of the old sort of New Zealand one that they used to play in, North Shore Events Centre, just a more modern version of that. I know Brisbane used to play out of their what they call the library, the old entertainment centre or whatever, and apparently it was death, right? Crowd didn't get involved in it at all, but I enjoyed from a TV perspective. I liked that venue. I don't know what it was like. I never went there. But
Here's what I'll say.
Why don't they go back there? The crowd seems to be at least making some noise now.
Here's what I'll say with Brisbane. People in Brisbane, jump in the Discord. You're there. You got boots on the ground. We'd love to hear from you. Is the game day experience good? Is there a sense of optimism around the club? Like when Vic Law was there, he was kind of growing the moustache and kind of liking it. None of those guys this season had any spark. None of them spoke to the camera. I think that the other thing as well, the Magne thing has left a sour taste in all their mouth. Where Sobey's like, well, if you're going to treat Magne like that, a kid who's been with the club since 15, what are you going to do to me? A new arrival. So that's bad. We'll move on from Brisbane, but I just want to make one last thing.
Yep.
First of all, against Illawarra, the bad loss, 77-108, the massive loss. They gave up the biggest score this season. Listen to this stat line. Kadi and Patterson, 6 points. This is combined. 6 points. 1 of 17 from the field. 5 turnovers for -56. And the stark contrast between Kadi, who I quite like as an off-the-bench point guard, and the contrast between him and Rathan Mays, who was just sort of long, athletic, making moves, you know, but more so the stark contrast between Patterson and Cleveland. There was a time where Cleveland stole it off Patterson and was just like graceful, just moving up the court and about to dunk it. And Patterson was just caught behind, like clutching. I felt bad for him, but it was hard to watch.
Kadi's a real trick or treat player because the next game he came and hit that three to ice it, basically.
I know.
You just never know what you're going to get from him.
that's why he needs to come off your bench and not be the starter. But if they had Sobey, they still would. I don't know. If you can figure it out, people in Brisbane, you let us know. Let's move on to New Zealand.
New Zealand, perfect.
You go first. What do you want to see change?
All they got to do is play some home games, right? That'll solve so many problems. You can't be understated how much this club's been damaged by continuously being away from home just for 2 years now. I mean, you're talking about revenue hits, psychological hits, the ability to attract decent import hits. You know, it's just you're just taking skin off your knees at every turn. So go back to New Zealand, get some good, what is it, S&P, L&P, what do they drink over there? Get some of that into them, they'll be fine.
Yeah, S&P, I think, yeah. And New Zealand fans, jump in the Discord, tell us what you'd like to see. I said this, they should start playing some home games. I agree with you on that one. They've also got to start playing some defense. I think they're the last in defensive rating.
I think that'll come with being at home, though.
I actually agree. I agree with that. However, a few personnel changes. Wetzel, I like as a scorer catch, but he just can't defend. And the guy who would be really handy there is a guy they used to have, Brandon Ashley, would be a nice fit.
Yeah.
Keep him around. You could even pair him with Wetzel, kind of. But, you know, they need a bit more defense. But I agree with you. It'll come with playing at home. These 2 years have been so cruel on court and commercially for New Zealand. They've just felt like such a tack on.
Yeah. And they've been like poorly treated by the league as well. Like playing their home games at the opposing team's home venue. That happened with Melbourne now, happened with Adelaide. That's just mean.
It's just a mess. And I want to say this though. Tip of the cap to Shamir. I think this year they went, guys, it's going to be rough. What were they ever going to, we're going to win a title this year and not play in New Zealand. Yeah, and just the year was done. I don't know why I put him so high on this. We thought they were going to get there for games. Anyway. Yeah.
Shamir, I just want to say, good on Shamir. Shamir sets a mean screen in the backcourt.
Yeah, man, this is crazy.
That guy likes to step on the court during play.
Oh, wow. Does he ever? Oh, man. I don't have a problem with it. I don't hate it. I don't see any issue with it.
Oh, man. My hackles go up when I see it. It's just like, get off the court. You know, you're given a coaching box. You're given a coaching box. And he just doesn't even pretend to obey that. Drives me crazy.
I will say, here's what I love about Shamir. The one tip of the cap you can give to the Breakers. Besson and Dieng. I thought Dieng was a total naught. He's actually extracting play.
Yep.
He's extracted play out of Dieng. And Besson's had some up and down games. But you can see, when it kind of works, you can really see his talent. I think he's an absolute superstar. I'm mad for Besson.
Yeah.
So he's been shown that, he can take talent. Imagine if he did that with a young player who was hanging around for a couple of years. It's like, okay, Shamir's got something. So I hope they keep him.
Okay. Do you want to just, last chance maybe, do you want to do the Andrew Gaze? Do you want to say Besson in your best French accent?
You know what's embarrassing? I've missed all this in commentary. Because I'm doing stuff while the game's on, and I've heard people talking about it, but I've never heard it. So I can't. I'm so sorry. I cannot.
Oh, Andrew Gaze is a gem. The amount of fun he has saying Hugo Besson.
I feel like I'm late to the party on this. Like jumping over everyone. Like, what's going on? I'm messing up.
Love it.
Let's move on. Let's move on to another team. Do you want to go with
Adelaide?
I'll give my answer first. Simple. Yep. Import production. At either end.
Good answer. Yep.
What do you got?
I got very similar. Like, it'll end up in the same way. I have spend money.
Yeah, spend money.
Because that'll get you some decent imports, which should lead to wins. So I think we're kind of saying the same thing in roundabout in different ways.
Exactly.
The imports are good.
In the Kesselman article, it even said, like, it's attracted, successful businessman Grant Kelly from, I forget the name of his enterprise. So I was like, that guy's got money to rub together. Holy
man,
smokes.
He's from put on court. Vicinity centers. Yeah, he's shopping centers.
Oh, wow. COVID retail.
Yeah, I know. You do wonder that.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think, it's you just put charge rent, right? Look, that team should be doing so much better than they are. It's just a mess.
How
spend the money?
I know we said we weren't going to do the round review, but how do you lose to Adelaide at home? Did that happen?
It did. Yeah. So it was Brisbane.
You don't.
Is that the game?
Such a lousy round. I got to check myself.
I don't even care.
I'm pretty sure it happened either Sunday night or Monday, whatever. Let me have a look at this.
Really hard to manufacture enthusiasm.
Yeah, Soto had Kai Soto had 21 points. He had a career high. Yeah. And Adelaide lost at home to Brisbane without Franks.
Without Franks, yeah.
Inexcusable. I don't know how it happened. You know how? You know why? I don't know how it happened.
Just didn't bother watching.
Yeah, nobody's watching it. But look at this. Hannes and Withers didn't play. Hang on.
Withers did play. Hannes didn't.
Hannes didn't play.
Didn't pass and the fitness Withers... test.
Look at this. I don't know what I've written here. I'm just going to read it out. Hannes didn't play and Withers put up nearly as many turnovers, two as points, three in 22 minutes. Yeah, there, that makes sense. Yep. Hannes didn't play and Withers put up more, almost as many turnovers as points in half a game's play.
You're getting more production out of Hyrum Harris than Todd Withers.
Unbelievable. This is a DP a couple of years ago. A kid who was throwing.
I mean,
The 36ers used to have imports like Jerome Randall in his prime, MVP.
Yep.
Willie Farley stretching back further than that. They're the two I like the most. Come on.
Yeah.
You're going to put against Willie Farley, you're going to put Hannes or whatever. If Willie Farley was a star, massive star. And now it's Withers and not even fetching a third import. Cheap and out, you're not even getting a third. But just contemptuous.
Yep.
Contemptuous. Just despicable. All right, let's move on. Who have we done? Cairns.
Cairns. All right. Have you got one for this one? First.
I do. You want to go first?
Oh, okay. I'm going to say that they need to adopt a small ball game plan.
Yeah, same thing.
Really?
Like once. Yeah, absolutely.
I just think the run gun, have some fun, get the hometown excited and engaged. Like, you're not always going to win. Kansas is like such a long shot to ever win the title. So you've got to deliver entertainment. And how do you deliver entertainment? You get up and down. You get the sort of, you know, you've unleashed Pinder and Bowl this year. Bull Kowal.
Yep.
You've got maybe Quatnoy coming back next year, maybe with some, you know, a preseason underneath his belt. And I think you just run the ball and forget Zimmerman and that sort of slow lumbering guy. Just have some fun with it.
I got two questions for you stemming on from this. Have you waned or what is your opinion of Machado? I mean, he's had a horror year with injury, but when they were playing well, I thought, man, this guy orchestrates the game. I actually was kind of high on him towards the end of the year. I know he's hurt again, so if he's busted up and no good, you know, the conversation changes. But what's your thought on Machado?
Oh, look, I think he's just looked so broken down this year. When he's been on the court, he's doing a lot of like slow down, hesitation moves, just kind of like dribbling top of the key, like almost waiting for something to unfold. I think he's been stunted by the team around him. Look, I would probably, I think for Cairns, if he's happy there, I'd bring him back.
Yeah. I concur. And I think he orchestrates the game well. If he can get good health, I mean, he had a horrible year with health. And whether that's a symptom or a cause, you know, is that what's going to happen perpetually going forward? Well, that's an issue. You got to weigh that up. But gee, when he was on the court, they looked good. And yes, you're right. Zimmerman, I actually was quite liking Zimmerman. And then when they left, would you agree with me that they've looked better without him? I know they got smacked the other day by, Melbourne. Destroyed. But, but I still felt they looked better.
Yeah,
Pinder was dunking and stuff. And they had came close to some wins and got some over New Zealand, albeit. But
if you go back to like a Cam Oliver equivalent, you know, it doesn't have to be as good as Cam Oliver, but just that kind of running put power forward kind of guy instead of big center. I just think they look a lot better.
And also, feast or famine. When they go really big, instead of it being Zimmerman, who's kind of like, is he big? Now it's like, yeah, we're putting Jawai in. Like, now we're going big.
Yep.
And he's been real effective in that 10 to 15 minutes or patchy play, especially with Machado. So I agree. I had health and switchability written down. Yep. Just get five guys who can all play a bit of positions and then, you know, have Jawai around because he's been there for a long time and bring him in and just, well, all of a sudden it's like, oh no, they're doing this. We didn't factor on this and it's a complete change. And then it's back to another swift lineup of like Pinder, Tajir McCaw or something like it with a bit more scoring. Machado, Noy, and you're like, oh, Majuk Deng, this is long, this is lengthy, what do we do? And then all of a sudden, oh no, they've brought in Jawai and he's absolutely scattering, what do you call them, pins, you know, 10-pin balls. So I kind of like them looking like that. But
we fixed Cairns. Okay. Last team to fix with our one change. We got Tasmania.
Yeah, Tasmania. We do indeed. I'll go first.
Yep.
I'll just read out totally what I've got written. They take and make the most 3-point field goals and shoot the sixth best percentage, which is not ideal when you shoot so many, but not bad. They're a 3-and-D team. Mm-hmm. So the change I'd make is move them to the mainland. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. A stretchy big who can and will defend. They just need someone who can fit into that style, 3-and-D. But they need size. They looked really small in some matchups. And consistency. Bring those imports back. So I know I said a couple of things, but they're all kind of related. What'd you put?
It's incredible. It's like we have stolen each other's notes because I've put here recruit a scoring power forward, which is basically the same thing.
Who can defend.
Yeah.
You cannot change that defensive mindset.
Like McIntosh hasn't been enough. He had a couple of good games right when they were thinking about sacking him and saved him for the season. And I think for the culture of the team, they were probably never going to let him go anyway. I think after everything that Scott Roth had been preaching about team and building it for the island and all that, I think
the Russian kid didn't get that treatment. Mikhailovsky. Oh boy. What, you want to leave? Yeah. Back to a war zone? Yeah, even better. Off you go.
Yeah, I think I think McIntosh hasn't been enough. He can't come back next year. They need to just build on him. You know,
I want to ask you a question.
Yep.
A switchy scoring four who can kind of, are we describing Will Magne? Remember when Will Magne had big scoring games, was a bit rangy, we're all having fun, him blocking shots?
Yep.
I think he's kind of the guy.
Could be. I think they need somebody more like a Mitch Creek.
Okay.
Not Mitch Creek. I'm not saying Mitch Creek.
I mean, he's out of
like Mitch Creek.
They definitely need a more, well, a local who they get production out of. Magne, I like his potential, but he didn't play.
Yeah.
He missed a lot of time for the second year in a row. So they need a local they can count on. Mitch Creek is a local you can count on. He's out of contract. You don't think he'd go to a second new team, do you?
Well, I guess he's got experience, right? He could tick the KPIs. I don't think he fits the Scott Roth mindset. I don't think he's right for that team, but I like that style for them.
Can I see this? Adams, Majette, really small backcourt. It's worked, but do they kind of cannibalize one another? Do you want a bigger guard? I thought Adams at time kind of struggled to get his shot off. Looked better late in the year, but would you bring them all back? You not McIntosh. You'd bring those two guys back, though?
Look, at the beginning of the season, I would have said I'll bring back Majette and I'll ditch Adams. I flipped on that now. I'm thinking Adams, I would bring him back. I think he sort of has got his balance between attacking and shooting the three a bit better.
He's quicker. He's real quick.
He's strong. Whereas Majette, just kind of.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
Would you rather have Casper Ware or Majette?
I'd go Casper Ware.
Imagine Casper Ware in the same. I would too, because he plays D.
Yeah. And he's got a swagger.
Oh, for sure. And he's done it before.
Yep.
Majette, not really. We haven't really seen him before, but yeah. So a Casper Ware-ish guy. If they could upgrade on Majette, you'd probably look around. Adams I quite liked, but certainly, yeah, they need just a little bit more individual offense. But does that take away from their team? I don't know. I'd still say you need a little bit more of a real self-starter on offense. But consistency.
Yeah.
If they just went, you know what, we're rolling it back and we're hoping for health from Magne, and that's going to fill in the paint protection. And he's a bit rangy. If they said we're doing that, I'd be like, you know what, that's great. Consistency is good. You had a winning season. Fuck, they're only a couple of games off the playoffs.
I know.
Close.
It's a shame they're kind of locked in on some of their contracts. Like Jared Bairstow, they signed him, I think, a two-year deal. That's not getting
two or three,
They got Krizlovic, don't they? And he's good, but he's not going to ever set the world on fire.
But I think they just went, you know what? Bairstow, three-year deal. You're only ever going to come off our bench as 10th man, but at least that spot is locked. You're not going to get a lot of production from Adam. He's on the minimum likely, so that's, what, 60K? You can't pay anyone any less than that, you know? So you may as well lock those guys up. So your locker room's kind of maintained rather than signing some guy off the bottom of the bench who's a troublemaker or something like that. So I don't hate that so much, but, it's McIntosh, you'd probably be looking, okay, let's see what's out there. But and if Magne were healthy. That's the big what if. Okay. All right. I think
I want to do some listener feedback. I want to do some listener feedback.
Before that, can I make a case for Keanu Pinder as most improved? Or at least his very strong case.
Please do.
Adelaide. When he was at Adelaide, these were his stats. And stats aren't everything. The eye test the eye test would definitely give him the most improved. So I want to bring some stats into this. At Adelaide, 17 minutes per game, 4.5 points per game, 41%, 30% from the three, 4 and a bit rebounds.
Yeah.
17 minutes.
And lots of bad decision making.
Oh boy. I didn't get the turnovers, but they were higher. I know that much. Not by a heck of a lot, but the minutes are so reduced. Anyway, in only 4 extra minutes, because his minutes have gone up. He hasn't been a starter this whole year. He's almost doubled his point scoring, 9.5, 55% from the field, speaks to the better decision-making, 21% from the outside, still struggling, but taking less.
Yep.
I don't have the numbers on it, but way less, 7 rebounds, so again, almost doubled. And it's not just a matter of getting more minutes, because as I said, it's only the 4 minutes per game extra. Per 36 at Adelaide, 10 points per game, 8.8 rebounds, 2.5 turnovers. Whereas this year, per 36, 16 points per game, 12 rebounds, 2 turnovers. So they've gone down. I think this is the most improved player. Yeah. What do you think? Who are the other candidates?
He seems really invested as well. I'm really liking his attitude this year.
He goes to dunk the ball when it's a, when he's got a chance to dunk. He dunks it every time, unlike Travers. And he dunks it hard and good. Huge fan.
Yep. Who's he up against? Really good question.
Jack McVay?
Jack McVay, yeah, yeah. Jack White, can you call? Would he be most improved?
Yeah, yeah, he'd be around them. Oh, JLA,
JLA, yeah.
He's gone from, you know, good bench player to, you know, borderline MVP, you know, top 10 MVP candidate for sure. Who else? We're forgetting someone, surely.
I know. I'm just quickly scrolling through the extensive player list to try and remind myself who it could be. I think it's probably is about the
I think it's JLA.
Yeah, I think so. Nobody else is jumping out at me, so it really comes down to perhaps those two.
Probably is JLA. No, I really like that jump from, you know, solid player to star player. That's a much bigger jump than, you know, iffy starter to like, okay, solid starter. So
yeah,
but I just want to make the case for it. But you had stuff, Andrew, far away.
Oh yeah, for listener feedback. So,
oh yeah,
we've had some questions in our Discord. So there's a whole channel in there related to podcast discussion, and there's another section in there for patrons only. There's a whole super secret section for patrons. So if you pay us money, you get special dispensation in certain chat areas, and one of those is Patreon questions. So. Oh, the first one we've got is from Mr. Shadowstalker. Also, big thanks to him. He has actually helped with the Discord setup. Like, I knew enough to get it going, but then he's just gone like, mate, let me step in and let a professional go from here.
It's his Discord, but
man,
brilliant. Thank you very much.
It's like you have a founder and then you have the, you know, the management CEO who steps in and actually then does all the
work. You have a president and then you have someone like Ben Franklin. Not a president, but a true statesman.
I'm a mere figurehead on the NBL Pocket Podcast Discord. Shadowstalker does the work. So his question, he wants to talk about crowd attendance for the season and talk about how much of an impact it might have had on crowd attendance as we head now into footy season. And then he asks the question is, will playoff and the finals crowd attendance also be impacted by the footy season?
You want to go first, or me to?
You go.
Yes, in a word, yes. How can it not be? Especially in Melbourne. You look at the teams that are going to make it. Melbourne, big AFL town. Sydney, big NRL town. Illawarra, massive, same as Sydney. And then Perth. Perth is the one that's immune to this slightly.
I don't know.
You've got to just hope there's not a direct conflict.
Perth people ought never go to the first or the second, you know, sort of that first round, first game. They never go to that. They save their money for the third.
That's true.
Deciding.
The deciding, yeah. Good point. That is true. I think, but if the scheduling is good in Perth, people will go. There's 13,000 members. I saw an announcement the other day. They've got 12,000.
12,000.
Yeah. So those members, hey, basically they've already bought and paid for. Money's in the till, whether you come or not.
But they got to buy their tickets for the finals. That's the thing. That doesn't include finals tickets. So what they do is they go, oh, I've got to pay for semis and I'm going to make the guess that they'll get to the grand final. So I'm not going to buy all those tickets. That's like another $500.
There'll still be 10,000 there. There'll still be 10,000. It's playoffs. And it's a year when they're a bit iffy to make it. It'll be a good test. But no, I think Perth's going to be fine. But Melbourne's the iffy one. where, and that's where when in the article, going back to that, where Kesselman was like a third team in Melbourne. South East Melbourne get like 2,500 people to their games. Yeah, do you mind? What are you talking about? So as far as those other towns, yeah, I think it's a bit worrisome, especially in Sydney.
Yep.
A lot of teams. You know, it's not like, NRL is Sydney's Melbourne. There's a team in Cronulla. There's a team in Wests. There's a team in St. George of the Warra. There's a team in Manly. You know, a lot of pockets of Sydney are taken away from it. So I'll be looking at their attendances with great interest, especially if the two play one another. Yikes. And it's a bad time conflicting with big NRL matches. Yeah, it could be really troublesome. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, well, obviously it's not ideal. You don't want to compete with footy. It's just too difficult. And I don't think, it's probably not, there would be some crossover between footy fans and basketball fans. There's probably some standalone. You know, you like one, you don't like the other. But yeah, overall, you just, it's just too much competition. And like you said, Melbourne, so many footy teams. However, I think if Melbourne get to the grand final, I think Melbourne people just like sport so much that they will fill that place up.
Oh,
whereas I think in Sydney, there'll be more of a challenge.
I concur. I agree. And just the where the stadium's at in relativity to where the players are. I think the other thing I was going to say is I think you lose the casual fan. You just don't pierce with your marketing. There's so much going on and it's such a crowded marketplace and advertising space. We saw this with the NBL Cup especially. That kind of got a bit of press, but boy, towards the end, it just faded so far into the background.
Yep.
And AFL just has this huge advertising budget. So your casual fan, you're sort of, oh yeah, or what they're, oh, they're in the finals. Okay, yeah, I've kind of heard of them. Yeah, why not? Let's get a ticket for a game. You're just not going to get that person in Sydney. And I actually would debate whether you'd get it in Melbourne either. So I hope that answers the question there.
I hope so. And we've got question number two, last question. Mm-hmm. This is CN12 asking on the Discord. He said, can you give us your way too early Boomers lineups for the World Championship qualifiers to be held in Melbourne in June, July? Now, I went back and just got a qualifying, can we include NBA players? And I think we can. I think we can, most of the NBA players, I think we can consider as available. Why not? It's way too early. Let's just have them in.
All right. Well, let's try and do with and without as best we can.
Okay. So I've written mine down. So
actually, go one by one, and I'll tell you if I've also got that. Okay. Go with your starting five, and I'll tell you.
I didn't really do it. I actually didn't do it by starting. I just went guards, forwards, centers. Right.
All right.
Just the way my mind was working. So
you read out a name. I'll tell you if I've got them as
Okay. Giddy.
Yep.
Golding. Chris Golding.
11. I've only listed 11 players, so yeah, Golding would be on my list.
All right.
Yep.
Then I've got Mills.
Yep.
And I've got this is where I've gone a little bit cheap. Mills, if not Mills, then Cotton, assuming he has citizenship.
The great question. Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Dellavedova.
No, not on my list.
Okay. And that's the end of my guard rotation. Moving into forwards, I've got Nick Kay.
Yep.
Now, whether this guy's a forward or a guard, Josh Green?
I've got him, and he's forward guard. Yeah, yep. Same thing. Yep.
And then similarly, Dante Exum.
Yep, likewise.
Xavier Cooks?
Yeah, got him.
Mitch Creek?
I didn't have him.
Okay.
I just think they're going, if he was to be, I just look at him and Sobey, and I think that the expiry on that was the bronze medal.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think it's like we just have to forge. There are four spots now that have to go to the young NBA guys, Giddy most notable among them.
Yep.
I'd be surprised to see him there. And if they were going to take him last year, they would have taken him over Green. He's a better player than Green at that time.
Yeah,
he didn't go. He had the court case going on, but I think even irrespective of that, what happened. Okay. Sorry, go on.
That's all right. And then that's my forwards lineup. Then I've got centers. I've got Jock Landau.
Likewise, yep.
Duop Reith.
Yep.
And Joe Lualachul.
Oh, Lualachul, I didn't have it on. I had Thibault on this list.
Oh, okay. I figured his vaccinations wouldn't allow him into the country.
That's fair. So if you struck him off, yeah, probably is JLA. Who are the tough ones to miss out? I'd hope that going to camp would be Jack White, Vasiljevic, probably Magne.
Yeah.
Without any real optimism of them making it, but certainly included. Did you have any issues? Where were your sort of sticking points with picking out these players?
I had a bit of consideration about Dellavedova, but I think overall he's had a really good NBL season, and I think his experience come in handy. Mitch Creek was another one where I was like, do I don't know? But then I was like, I couldn't think of anybody else that you'd drop in instead. So I was like, why not? Why not have him? Maybe Jack White, if you wanted to blood somebody new.
It's pretty good. And No Vasiljevic? What about Golding and Vasiljevic?
Yeah, and
Golding. I just think mid-30s.
I think this is a qualifier. You want to get through. You don't want to have any. I assume it's
Golding's a better player.
Yeah, I think so. Vasiljevic, I don't know. He's still fine, but he's not eminent. Giving me boomer vibes at this point.
The other ones, I've got like Simmons, Ingles. They're not coming out for this. Ingles probably hurt. Simmons obviously.
I put Ingles out because of his injury. You know, he's got that ACL. Yeah.
No Nathan Sobey.
Well, he's been injured.
You'd have, I suppose, but he'd be healthy by then. It's June, July.
Don't trust it. Haven't seen him play in ages.
Okay, let's say they're both healthy. Both healthy, Dellavedova or Sobey, and why?
Still going to say Dellavedova because I want a point guard. Well, they got Giddy. Some of you don't need it. Sobey brings something different. Oh, man, that is actually a pretty tough call between those two. I make him play 1-on-1 to 21. Winner takes the spot.
I can see the Dellavedova claim. I mean, just a side note on Dellavedova. I mean, I called this guy a disaster coming into the year. I thought it was going to be a disaster. And I don't think that's not the word I'd use now. But I'd also say this guy's on 700K. Have they got 700Ks on court or off court production from Dellavedova? It's not a heck of a lot of money, 700K. It's a decent amount. It's about, there's only $1 million left in the salary cap.
Yep.
Soft cap, I should say. So have you got what you need out of Dellavedova? I mean, Shea Ili is playing
level. Yeah, Shea Ili is like cheap version of Dellavedova, but just giving you just as much. It's like much more value for money.
And playing big minutes in the fourth, and Vickerman's going, oh, geez, I kind of want to play the other guy. Dellavedova's been better than I thought. He's got a bit of a shot. Like, when left open, he'll hit some shots. He's the ugliest thing in the world. It's despicable. But he's kind of making it. The true test will be, but, so that's kind of those lists. It's very soon. I want to see who's at camp. You think Creek will go to the camp? He'll be invited, of course.
Yeah, he'll make it.
And he'll be in the qualifying team. You kind of had him there.
I think so.
Is there talk of whether those NBA guys are going to be there or not? Mills will.
I've not heard anything. I kind of presume none of them will be. Like, I think Giddy might not.
Because it's mid-season, isn't it?
It's like, there's the whole injury, the risk of injury, the contracts, all that. So they probably won't turn up. But
So let's say Giddy doesn't go, okay, you definitely have Dellavedova then.
Yeah.
But then Exum, like if... The NBA guys aren't there. Exum's probably in doubt as well. He's got a contract in... He would have a contract in Europe at that time.
Yeah, he's busy dunking on everybody at the moment, so...
Yeah, he looked great. Good for him.
So there we go. That's my way too... That's my way too early. Well, our way too early, because we kind of both worked through it there, I think.
I kind of didn't answer that question very well. I didn't. I'm like, it's June, July. I'll talk about it in June, July. If the question was, is it too early, I would have just said, yeah. Moved on.
How boring is that?
That's boring. I did my best at the last minute. I hope people liked it. All right. Well, I think that's it.
We just got to look at next round. There are only two games.
Oh, next round.
There's only two games you need to care about. Okay.
There's
two.
I've got one. I'll go my one. You tell me the second. Holy moly. I didn't know there was two. Illawarra, Sydney, Thursday, which is 2 days' time, April 14th, 7:30 p.m. on the East Coast. That'll be a game.
Yeah. What's that? That'd be great. Is that the freeway series? Is that what they call that?
Try to. Yeah.
Whatever.
All I just want to know how the owners are feeling, because that's what drives the crowds. Tell me who's going to win them one.
Illawarra is going to win that one.
Ooh, they snapped the streak at 12.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I think last week I might have said Sydney will win this one, but I just think Illawarra's playing so well.
Winner's fatigue.
And I just think Sydney will probably, schedule loss. Just think Illawarra will get it, but you can make a sound argument for either of them. We'll say Illawarra is going to win, because if Sydney win, it will be their 13th, and we all know what that 13th is not a lucky number.
Very unlucky. I'm so excited. I also think Illawarra, and not by any winner's fatigue. I think Cleveland on Adams is going to be a matchup. I can't wait to see it. I think that'll be the matchup. I would have thought they'd put him on Adams, or maybe they want to, maybe they'll put Adams, Cleveland on a bigger guy, so he kind of gets, when Adams gets one of his 2,000 picks, he'll be the guy that switches onto him. I don't know.
Yep.
That'll be interesting. No betting odds have come out on this game just yet. It's a bit premature. I will just quickly check while I'm chatting. So I don't know who the favorite is. I'm quickly bringing up the NBL app. If you haven't got it, do download it. Brought to you by DoorDash, official sponsor. here are the odds. So Illawarra's favorite, $1.75. Sydney, $2.08.
Okay.
So we are swimming downstream on this one.
There we go.
I'm betting on Gorgon.
Okay.
They need these wins. They kind of need to send a statement. Gorgon wants to stop. And I just trust that in the fourth quarter, when both teams have had a good look at each other, Gorgon's going to go, we need to do this, this, and this. And I think that will win the game.
Yep. Okay.
Now, you said there was a second game next round. I am folding my arms, Andrew.
I'm feeling a little sheepish. So I said that Southeast Melbourne versus Tasmania was the second game of interest.
Why is that of interest?
Just because they both are still mounting an argument that they could make finals. We know they can't really, but they're kind of both pushing it.
When's that on?
I didn't look at when it was. Jeez, somewhere in the Discord I can't find now. The schedules were even posted. But who's going to win? Tasmania going to win, because I just don't trust Southeast Melbourne anymore. And Tasmania keep putting up these excellent effort-based victories.
So Sunday in the afternoon in Melbourne. Oh wow. I don't think this is a game of note, but I'll play along. Yeah, Tasmania. Why not? I don't think. Well, what happens if Tasmania win? Are they? They can't overtake anyone, can they? In earnest, seriously?
I don't think so. But the struggles that Perth are having at the moment, you know, like,
yeah, fair point.
You know, like, they, Perth stumble a little bit more.
We obviously want Tasmania to win to increase that pressure.
Yes,
Southeast Melbourne. We feel they're dead. They're not going to win. No, I think Tasmania win. It's their second game of the round. They're on a back to back. So this is the second of the back-to-back. So
no guts, no glory. Go Tassie.
Yeah, okay. So keep your eye out for those games. That's Thursday and Sunday. I think we've come to the end.
I think so.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Patron, do please, if you like the show, we'd appreciate that very much. I don't know what we're going to do with that money. Pull it together, come to a town and just blow it up. Just spend it wildly. So that's what we plan to do with that. But Patron, tell your friends about the show.
Yeah, please do.
And get, I guess, do people still do that?
We want,
and,
yeah. Yeah, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts,
yeah,
give us a rating. I don't even use Apple Podcasts, so I don't even think about that rating system as being important anymore. I use Overcast, right? So
you've always got these funky, techie things. Like, everyone's like, oh, I have a toaster. You're like, oh, I use a atomizer. Like, get out of here.
I'm a nerd, man.
That's true. But it's working. It's working for you. And tell people about Overcast. What is it? I thought it was a weather system or a weather.
No, it's a podcast. It's a podcast player. You can get it at overcast.fm. If you don't like that one, try Pocket Casts or Castro. Either of those three will give you a better experience than Apple Podcasts.
Well, there you go. Yeah, but if you're on Spotify as well, leave. I think you can give a rating or something, but definitely give a review. We like reading those. They're fun.
Yeah.
Negative or positive, both can be a bit of fun. And that's it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Yep. And we will see you next week.
Ciao.